You just heard Scott mention the tax cut battle facing the president. Mr. Obama told the audience in Osawatomie that unless Congress extends a temporary payroll tax holiday, 160 million Americans will see their taxes go up next year by an average of $1,000. But as NPR's David Wellner reports, there is concern the tax cut may be undermining the solvency of Social Security.
Fact number one, last year, for the first time in its 75-year history, Social Security took in less money than it paid out. Fact number two, this year, the first of the baby boomers reached retirement age and began collecting Social Security benefits. Fact number three, the payroll tax holiday that Congress approved a year ago reduced Social Security's revenues this year by $105 billion. President Obama showed no sign of being troubled by those facts when he popped into the White House briefing room earlier this week and called on Congress to extend the payroll tax cut for another year.
It will help families pay their bills. It will spur spending. It will spur hiring. And it's the right thing to do.
Republicans on Capitol Hill might disagree. Even though they do not think other tax cuts should be paid for, they make an exception when it comes to Social Security. Lamar Alexander is the Senate's number three Republican.
Getting rid of the way we fund Social Security through the payroll tax is a dangerous idea. Taking money from Social Security funding is a long-term raid on solvency of Social Security.
It's not just Republicans raising red flags about Social Security. Bernie Sanders is a Vermont independent who caucuses with Senate Democrats. He says he agrees with President Obama that middle-class families and the working poor need tax relief to weather tough economic times.
My concern is diverting hundreds of billions of dollars from the Social Security Trust Fund into that immediate tax relief. So I would love to see tax relief, but done in a different way.
I think it's a far greater danger than most people anticipate.
That's Charles Blahaus, whom President Obama appointed last year to be one of the six trustees of Social Security and Medicare. Blahaus says the payroll tax break may be harming Social Security's long-term solvency.
I mean, I'm a Republican and I'm a conservative, and if you were asking me to a first approximation, do I want lower taxes or higher taxes, then obviously I want lower taxes. The problem here is that I'm also a public Social Security trustee, and so I'm honor-bound to identify when this causes a change or a difficulty for the Social Security program, which it does.
And that's because the Social Security program has long been considered self-financing and thus politically immune from budget cuts. But that could change, Blahaus says, now that employees are no longer paying their full share into Social Security due to the payroll tax holiday.
This could be the beginning of the end of the idea that this is an earned benefit where benefits enjoy a certain amount of political protection because of the notion that they have been paid for in the past by the beneficiaries.
There's anxiety among Democrats as well about the prospect of prolonging the payroll tax cut. Nancy Altman is co-director of Social Security Works, a Washington-based advocacy group. Altman says she's been alarmed to see a Democratic administration dipping into Social Security's revenue stream to stimulate the economy.
Democrats were the ones that created Social Security and the ones that were its strongest champions over its 76 years. So to have a Democratic president proposing to undo the dedicated revenue, and even though it's being substituted general revenue, it's a fundamental change that supporters of the program, I think, should oppose.
Altman worries the payroll tax cut has become so popular it will be hard to end it. That's one reason why she opposed it in the first place.
Many of us at the time said there's no way this is just going to last 1 year. And sure enough, we're back now talking about expanding it.
Some lawmakers do say the tax break is worrisome, including Rhode Island Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
I think one more year should be about the limit.
And why?
Because of the nature of Social Security.
A program that until now has always paid its way. David Wellner, NPR News, The Capitol.
European leaders are fuming after the ratings agency Standard & Poor's said it may downgrade the credit of countries that use the euro, including France and Germany, which now have AAA ratings. Over the summer, S&P downgraded U.S. Treasury bonds, long seen as one of the safest investments in the world. Now, some analysts are asking whether these days any investment is really risk-free. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
A AAA rating on a security basically is supposed to mean that it has no risk, or virtually no risk. You invest in it and you won't lose your money. That's the theory. But in the recent subprime mortgage debacle, these ratings were spectacularly wrong.
Well, we've learned during the financial crisis that there's a lot of risk in AAA ratings.
That's Felix Salmon, a financial blogger with Reuters. He does not like AAA ratings, and this latest round of financial problems in Europe, for him, underscores why. The problem, he says, is that the AAA rating is kind of a myth. The world is not a perfect place, and every investment must have some element of risk. So why pretend that it doesn't?
So the problem with the AAA rating is that it basically makes people brain dead. AAA is what caused the financial crisis.
Okay, it might not be the only thing that caused the financial crisis, but Salmon says it makes investors lazy and sloppy. And so he'd like to move all ratings a rung lower from AAA down to what's called AA or AA+.
AA plus doesn't carry the same connotations that AAA does. No one will look at a AA plus and say, that's risk-free.
Now, here's where Salmon starts to sound a little bit like he's making the same argument as the guitar player Nigel in the spoof rock band movie This Is Spinal Tap.
This is a top to what we use on stage. But
in the movie, Nigel's being interviewed about his guitar amplifier, where the little volume knobs are labeled on a scale of 1 to 11 instead of 1 to 10 like most amps.
Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10, one louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
The point being that if you call the top rating AAA or AA, what's really the difference? Salmon says there would be one, but some professional money managers are unconvinced.
It's silly to call for the abolition of the AAA rating.
David Kotak is the top investment officer at Cumberland Advisors, and he spoke to us just before hopping on a plane to Europe to go meet with officials there to get the latest on the emerging sovereign debt plan.
We need a AAA rating. We need a AA rating. We need a single A rating. We need a scale. We need a system. The rating agencies made a mess out of that, and now they're in the process of trying to fix it.
Kotak says even right now, amidst all the global financial turmoil, there are institutions that deserve a AAA rating.
Yale University is a AAA credit. It has a huge endowment. There are very sound AAA credits. The probability of default is near zero.
But at the moment, big, powerful nations are not looking like such risk-free investments. John Chambers is chairman of the Sovereign Ratings Group for Standard & Poor's, or S&P.
Well, I think it's a valid question whether government securities are a AAA asset class. We have 20 ratings between AAA and D, and we try to call the increments as we see them.
As far as whether European nations can protect their current credit ratings by coming to an agreement to stabilize the financial troubles there...
Well, we have hopes, if we had no hope, we would have lowered the ratings outright.
So the message seems to be clear to European leaders. Hammer out a financial crisis plan or face having your country's debt downgraded by S&P. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
In New York State, high earners will soon pay more in taxes. Governor Andrew Cuomo and legislative leaders have agreed to increase rates for millionaires. Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio reports.
Governor Cuomo had opposed continuing an income tax surcharge on New York's wealthy, arguing that it would hurt the state's competitive edge for attracting new business. Now, the governor has changed his mind. He's agreed to temporarily raise the top income tax bracket on New Yorkers earning more than $2 million a year. Middle-class rates will be lowered on a sliding scale. Cuomo, in a pre-recorded message, says the new system is more equitable.
I am proposing a fair tax system for New York based on a simple truth. The more you make, the higher the rate you pay.
The governor blames his tax policy reversal on the continued gridlock in Congress.
The economy is not going to get better on its own, and Washington is not coming to our rescue.
In addition, the state is strapped for cash and faces a multi-billion-dollar budget deficit. Ron Deutsch with New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness, a coalition that advocates taxing the rich, worries that the new plan won't yield enough.
This doesn't generate the type of revenue that we need in New York to address the major problems that we're facing with record unemployment, record hunger, record homelessness.
Cuomo and the legislature also want to expand gambling in New York to raise even more revenue. For NPR News, I'm Karen DeWitt in Albany.